Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
What a tremendously emotional show we had tonight. I was just talking by text to my dear brother, Ike Baker, that he's going to go down in history tonight. So will Sean Wiggler. This is Blood River's first anniversary show. We have made it 1 year. We came on the air October the 6th of 2018. It's a miracle. It's absolutely a miracle that we got this show online. We had to scrape up money we didn't think we could scrape up. It cost a lot of money to run a show. Sam can tell you that. Sam's been in this business for 26 years. But let me tell you what we did. A year ago today, we went on the air. In the name of our show, I'll make this short because I don't want to keep our guests hanging too long. We pledged our wealth, our penny ante money that we have. We pledged whatever it took, our life, our time, to try to do God's work and to fight Satan. Never have a minute's doubt who we're fighting. I don't care if you're a Christian. I don't care what branch of Christianity you have, Mormon, Shmormon, Baptist, Crabdist, Methodist. Everybody knows. Everybody's mama knows that we're fighting Satan. That's who we're fighting. We're fighting the enemy. Satan and his children. And we all know who his children are. Just go read the Gospel of John. But we had, I might wrap this up. We had a man. You tell me this isn't a miracle. A year ago, we opened up the show pledging to fight white genocide, global white genocide. Our poster child of fighting white global genocide is in South Africa, where hard genocide is going on right now. We talk about that every show. Just butchery, rape, arson, every kind of atrocity going on over there. The death rate over there is higher than the infantry combat soldier in the height of Vietnam. We had a man, Matt Goodwin, our co-host. He's in South Africa as we speak. Boots on the ground. We had a fella on the night. His name is Marcus. He is South African. He's in the Zoutlanders. He has ancestors traced back to the Battle of Blood River. I'm telling you, people, this show is a miracle. I thank God that he's letting us do that, that he's letting us to have this show. I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to tell you one more thing. We're going to our distinguished guests, my brothers. I love them to death. If you go to our website and you listen to our commercials, one of our commercials just said, we don't care about the alt-right, the little boys from the alt-right. We don't care about the perfume princes. We don't care about the fence setters. If they want to come and join us later on before it's too late, more power to them. But we're not going to spend day after day after day trying to plead with them to please wake up. I'm going to tell you what. We said that we're after the hardest core of the hard right. And that's who we have on tonight. We have my dear brother, Ike Baker. People, I'm getting real emotional right now, so hang on. He's second in command only to Dr. Michael Hill and Michael Tubbs. People, I can't carry their dirty underwear. We have him on tonight. He's graced us with the show. He's going to come on the first Saturday of every month. So I want you people to come in here and give them a great welcome. And we also have our dear brother, Sean Winkler, who is the Mississippi State chairman. And I believe I met Sean, if I'm not mistaken, back in June at Montgomery Bell. I believe we interviewed him on a show and he knocked it out of the park. Anyway, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on our show. Ike, thank you so much for having Sean come on. What do you have to say about what do you have to say about this miracle of this show, Ike?
Oh, I'm glad to be on Blood River. I think it's a tremendous vehicle for reaching our people, and it reaches the kind of people, Eddie, that we need to reach. You know, I'm in lockstep with you about this whole alt-right thing. As you might recall, before we rolled into Charlottesville, I mentioned to the assembled nationalist front, that we're not the alt-light, we're not the alt-right, we're the hard right. We are the hard right. We'll always be the hard right. And, you know, you're very correct about something. Convincing people who aren't there yet, well, we have to continue to try that, frankly, because they are our people. But we're coming to a point where the clock is so close to midnight on this whole thing that we're going to just have to dance with who we brung. And the ones who turn out, the ones who are willing to put flesh, bone, and blood in the breach, those are the people who are going to make the difference. And in my view of things, that's who's going to save our people. I almost was going to clarify something. I'm not second in command of the league. I'm chief of operations for the league. We have a command staff. Dr. Hill is our president and our commander. We have an executive officer, and we have a chief of staff. I serve below those gentlemen, and it is a privilege to be an officer in the League of the South. We had a wonderful conference last month down in Alabama, brand new venue, a little town called Pine Level. They welcomed us there. We anticipated, possibly, Antifa might come visit us as unwelcome guests. They didn't. We had very effective security provided by our own personnel. We had great turnout. Some of the most wonderful speakers you could ever ask for. Dr. Kevin McDonald spoke to us. Rick Tyler spoke to us. James Edwards spoke to us. Dr. David Duke spoke to us not once but twice. Our own Dr. Michael Hill spoke. It was a wonderful couple of days of fellowship and time spent advancing the cause of our people in Alabama. I know this is one of those situations where you would have needed to be in two places at the same time in order to be with us in Alabama. Obviously, next year we hope to see you there, Eddie.
God bless. I'll tell you, God willing, I will be there, my brother. Yes, sir. We'll come down there and we will broadcast, like I say, God willing, and I think God's got it in the cards for us. We'll be down there broadcasting loud and clear. Yes, sir.
You know, something else you said, you know, I believe we are, all of us in this cause, all of us in this movement, you know, I am a Southern nationalist, which is a branch of the tree of white nationalism. We're doing God's work. It's my belief that we are the greatest expression of His will on this earthly plane. The ones who work against us continually, unceasingly, tirelessly, it seems like, are the literal children of Satan, if you believe John 8:44, if you believe Revelation 3:9, it's right there in the Bible. As I mentioned to a Judeo-Christian, I imagine those words with lowercase letters because I don't think there's any such thing as an actual Judeo-Christian. There's just a Zionist who sits in a church on Sundays. And he explained to me, the Jews are the chosen people. You can't talk about them like that. Oh, I beg to differ. They're not the chosen people. We are the chosen people. They are chosen by Satan. But they will continue to work against us at every turn, and we will continue to meet their efforts against us at every turn. That's very important in my worldview, in my way of thinking about this. But we did have a great conference down in Alabama. The league, as I've mentioned in a couple of venues where I've had the opportunity to speak to our people recently, the league remains the only organization that marched up Market Street in Charlottesville with our leadership intact.
Oh, we got to go to a break right quick. Like, hold that thought, my brother. We're coming right back. And check out this music, Ike. I picked it myself.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Well, people, we're right back with our two esteemed guests. What we're going to do, we're going to go back to Ike Baker and let him finish his thought, and then we're going to bring Sean on from the Mississippi State Chairman. Sean, we're going to bring him on right after Ike gets through with his comments.
What I was just saying is, really in agreement with what you said in your opening statement when you were discussing this being the anniversary of Blood River Radio. We do God's work. We believe that our people, as I mentioned, are the highest expression of His will in this earthly plane. We've given far too many things away as a people. We've gone to sleep. I mean, across the board, we're not asleep. We're certainly not asleep. But across the board, our people are. They're completely cucked out to sports. SEC football is the religion of the South, which is ridiculous. But we're there, standing on the bulwarks for our people, as we have been for 25 years. And good Lord willing, we will be for 25 more years. And in that 25-year period, if it's His will, we'll win that great victory. Let's have Sean on. What do you say?
Yes, sir. People, you're listening to Ike Baker, the operations officer for the League of the South, and we're bringing Sean Winkler on. He's the Mississippi State Chairman for the League of the South. We're going to be having these gentlemen on the League of the South on the first Saturday of every month. Sean, how are you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm doing really well, Eddie. Thanks for asking.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. Did we interview you at Montgomery Bell back in June?
Yes. Yeah. When you mentioned that a minute ago, yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, you did. That was the first time you and I met, and probably one of the first times I've really been on radio.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You were one of the hits. We had two other league guys on, and everybody said y'all knocked it out of the park. I mean, we have it all, like Renaissance Men. We have Warriors, eloquent people, just wonderful people. That word is leaving right now. Scholars. We have
Eddie,
warriors.
We are warrior poets is what we are.
There you go. That's the word I was looking for.
Good to hear from you, brother. It was great seeing you and your bride in Alabama last month.
Yeah, it was great being there. We had a pretty splendid time, and You know, we at all these events, you know, we and I don't know why I say events. I like to call them reunions. It's like having a family reunion at these gatherings, and I always appreciate seeing everybody there. So and Alabama was no exception.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the great state of Mississippi, brother.
Well, some of you may have heard already. They still have the ongoing controversy over the state flag, of course. I think it's going to go until it finally erupts to be something somewhere. They some of the lawmakers are now pushing to change it, but yet there's equal amount of lawmakers keeping fighting to save it and saying, look, you can't do it unless the voters go for it. As most people know, in 2001, over 60% of the voters voted to keep the flag the way it is that we see today, the current flag. We have a new governor coming in place, so that's going to be a big thing coming up. What the governor's going to do and see about the flag. But another
sure.
thing, some of you may have heard, the Emmett Till sign that they have down there for that Negro that winked and whistled at a white woman back, and I forgot what exactly year, 1959 or 1960, and so some good old boys just carried out some good old boy justice, and he ended up in the bottom of a river with chains and cinder blocks to his feet, and they put a sign up there in the memory of him. So now the people come by and shoot up the sign, and NAACP is fighting to try to make the state put up a monument for him, and they said, well, aren't going to do that because he's not a historical figure. And so now the NAACP is screaming and hollering, and so that's been a current event down here, and also we have an event coming up on November 2nd in Potts Camp, Mississippi. I definitely encourage like-minded people to attend. We'll have a spectacular barbecue. I'm sure my wife and the other ladies there will, as usual, make fantastic food. We plan to have a good gathering and fellowship. Dr. Michael Hill is going to be there, and I know there's several people that's been trying to get the opportunity to meet him, and that'd be a good time to meet him. We'll have members coming from as far as Colorado for the event, so we're doing really well as far as that goes. And we're just other than that, I mean, we're putting out a lot of propaganda. Speaking of which, I'm going to have to put another order in to get more free magnolias. We put out a lot of free magnolias. We're getting a lot of positive feedback. To this very day, we still have people that sees our Southern Nationalist flag and says, we think we saw y'all's flag on the news a couple of years ago. And when I say, well, when's that? And, you know, and they said, well, it's in reference to Charlottesville, I think, like there's a riot or something. And I'm like, well, it wasn't a riot. It was just simply people fighting to a right that we supposed to have, a free speech. And
absolutely.
You know, I said, we had permits. We were legally allowed to be there, and we were attacked by aggressors. And that's a...
You know, brother,
that's what we're up to today.
That day in Charlottesville, we made that flag known worldwide. Now, nothing will probably ever take the place of the Confederate battle flag in the consciousness of freedom-loving people. But we took that black cross and we imprinted it on the consciousness of anybody watching that day. I heard a very interesting story from someone I deemed to be reliable. You know, we were not the first ones in the park. There were people besieged in the park by Antifa before we got there. And if you recall the way Market Street, we were all three in that formation, right? The way Market Street had a crest to it, the first thing that became visible was our flag above that crest. And a cheer went up in the crowd because within the movement, the Black Cross has been known for some time. But that day it became world famous, and they knew those fellows in the park who were being beleaguered by Antifa before we got there. They knew when they saw that black cross that the League of the South was on the field. And just telling that story again just makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, because I'm going to say it again, brothers, we're doing God's work.
God, like you had chills stirring up. I have chills up and down my spine. We were there. I was there with you guys, and it was a sacred honor to be there in the battle with you guys. And I'm going to chip in right now. I know exactly where Potts Camp is, Sean. If you will give me a barbecue, if I'll come down and broadcast, is it going to be on Saturday?
Yes.
The picnic you were talking about?
On Saturday.
Will you be there until 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll be there throughout the whole day.
I'd love to come broadcast.
Till dark, yeah. And we'd love to have you, Eddie. Man, I'd love to see you again. Boy, I feel honored having you here with us. It'd be a great time.
The honor is mine, sir. The honor is mine. Now, I'm going to shut my big mouth up and go back to you, Sean, and go back to Ike.
Okay.
Sean, you're doing a hell of a job in Mississippi. I have to tell you, you're very active. I knew when Dr. Hill first appointed you, I knew Mississippi was in good hands. Take the opportunity. Tell us what you have in mind for the future in Mississippi, brother.
Just like anything, I mean, sometimes it's hard to predict the future, but I mean, we're moving pretty heavily forward, and we're looking forward to other events. As many of you know, I'm very big into activism. I feel that just standing on a corner waving a flag is really just laughable. I'm very much into being one-on-one with people, approach people, talk to them. They ain't going to approach you. They're scared. They're scared they're going to be called racist if they walk up to you. Approach them. Talk to people. You'll be very impressed and surprised at how many people feel just like us. And, we plan to do more of that in the future, just getting out there and being on the streets more and not waving flags, but actually talking to folks.
Sean, we've got to go to a break, son. Thank you so much for coming on to the show tonight. I guarantee you, it's your call. If you want to come on, you'll be on Blood River Radio many more times. Thank you so much for coming on, and I would love to come to that barbecue dinner in Posse Camp. I'll be getting back with you, sir. People, hang on to your seat. We're going to a break. Be right back after this break.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said that the U.S. economy is facing some risks at the moment, but overall it's in a good place, and the Fed's main job is to keep it there as long as possible. Powell noted that unemployment is half a century low and inflation is running close to the Fed's 2% target. While Fed officials believe they have the correct strategy and tools to extend the current record-long expansion, it's important to examine whether any changes could improve the Fed's handling of the economy. Security forces continue to open fire directly at hundreds of anti-government demonstrators in central Baghdad, killing at least 10 and injuring dozens of others hours after Iraq's top Shiite cleric warned both sides to end 4 days of violence before it's too late. The death toll has raised to 53 people killed in the clashes during the continuing protest and marked a sharp escalation in the use of force against unarmed protesters. This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The impeachment investigation into President Donald Trump widened into a constitutional battle between the executive branch and Congress as Democrats officially subpoenaed White House officials and the president signaled his administration would not be cooperating. Trump said he would formally object to the impeachment investigation, even though he acknowledges that White House Democrats have the votes to proceed. Democrats warned that Trump is on a path of defiance, obstruction, and cover-up, and said defying their subpoena would be considered evidence of obstruction, potentially an impeachable offense. Trump said the resolution would likely pass the House, but he predicted it would backfire on the campaign trail for the Democrats.
I do believe that because because of what they're doing with Pelosi and their real leaders, AOC plus three. I really believe that they're going to pay a tremendous price at the polls.
Three Democratic chairmen warned Trump in a letter accompanying the subpoena, stating Speaker Pelosi has confirmed that an impeachment inquiry is underway and is not for the White House to say otherwise. This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, thank you so much for hanging on tonight. As we said previously, it's October the 5th in the year of our Lord 2019, and you're tuning in to a very, very special radio show tonight. Tonight is the exact one-year anniversary of Blood River Radio. In case you missed the first hour, we have a co-host, Matt Goodwin, our co-host on Blood River Radio. He's in South Africa even as we speak. He'll be back on the show next Saturday. We also spoke to a VorTrekker, an Afrikaner, who's living in South Africa, of course, and he has his descendants go right back to the Battle of Blood River. We had the first hour in the first part of this show, the first half hour, we had Sean Winkler on. He's the Mississippi, he's the organizer, the Mississippi organizer of the League of the South. We've got Ike Baker on right now. Now we're bringing Jason Robb on. Jason Robb is, I've got two of my favorite organizations in the world right now. We have the League of the South and we have the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan own. I love those two organizations. They're two, I can't think of any other organizations in the world that's doing God's work better than they are. How are you doing tonight, Jason? Jason? Well, we'll just go with that. Ike, are you okay? Are you there, Ike?
Can you hear me now?
I'm absolutely
here. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
My phone was going in and out. I didn't know if you
can hear me. Well, I can hear you fine now. I was just saying, Jason, I'm so glad you're with us tonight, Jason. We have Ike Baker on, as you know. Ike Baker, he's the operations officer for the League of the South. We had the Mississippi organizer on, in case people didn't just now tuning in, on the first half of the second hour. And what I would like you guys to talk about, if you would, I know different people have different feelings about what's going on right now in the government, in the central government. I spoke to Jason about it. I spoke to Ike also. And I'm gonna set the table, and I want you guys to take off. We have this impeachment that's being pushed by the deep state. And I'm going to throw a bone out there, too, for you. What's going on with this Ukrainian deal? They found out the servers, the DNC, have not, to my knowledge, they're not anywhere in Washington, D.C. Supposedly, that's why the FBI didn't go to Washington, D.C. to raid the servers there, because the servers are in the Ukraine. They have Trump's son-in-law. I can never think of the little Jew boy's name. His name is over there in those servers. We have many of the other people, the DNC, on their name over there, but there's including, as they say, Hillary Clinton's deleted emails are over there. A lot of people say, I'm setting the table, y'all, and go right back to y'all in just a second. A lot of people, I'm hearing the scuttlebutt. That's why the deep state and the DNC are so fanatical, why they're freaking out so bad, trying to do anything they can to keep Trump. Now, I'm not saying Trump's a saint, because really he's done almost more good than he has bad, as far as I'm concerned. But that's why they're freaking out. They're trying to keep him to get hold of the servers over there, because then he can bust Hillary. He can bust little son-in-law of Trump. He can bust the vice president's, ex-vice president's son, who's dealing, his name escapes me. But that's what's going on, because there's corruption going over there. The vice president's, the ex-vice president's son, his name escapes me. I get excited. I can't remember names. But he's been up to his eyeballs in a fake oil company over there in the Ukraine, just corrupt as hell. And also one last tidbit. I'm going to go back to you guys. We'll go to Jacob, then we'll go to Ike, since Jacob just coming on, just now coming on. A lot of this stuff is hooked to Jeremy Epstein. It's on the server over there, a lot of these emails. Now, with that setting the table, Jason, what do you think about that, fella? Go ahead, Ike. You can take off with it.
Okay. Well, now, I get a little bit confused about the vice president's sons. There's one who died of a brain tumor, and then there's one who got kicked out of the Navy for doing cocaine. His name is Hunter Biden. He was a commissioned officer. I want to say he was a lieutenant, a fairly junior grade officer, and he got kicked out of the Navy for doing cocaine. There's zero tolerance for drug abuse among the officer corps. The deep state has had a desire to to negate the results of the 2016 election. Ever since their vampire queen failed to cheat her way into office, I think this is clear. Now, I'm no fan of Donald Trump. Donald Trump's Justice Department is putting my brothers in prison for being nothing other than white men who don't care to see white people go extinct. Thomas Cullen, that U.S. attorney from up in Virginia, the Trump administration is not our friend. That said, the Democrats are an agent of Satan, without a doubt. That's the way I see them, the demoncrats. They need to be stopped at all costs. Now, where will this impeachment go? Frankly, the House will probably run with it because the House is dominated by Democrats at this point. Where will it go in the Senate? I can't even imagine that the Senate would vote to impeach a Republican president. It's a Republican Senate. Now, I want to be honest with you. I don't really get all wrapped up in federal politics. I just don't. I don't think the system can be reformed. I don't think the system should be reformed. I'm somewhat of an accelerationist, Eddie. I'd really like to see us get this party started before I'm drilling into my beard in a wheelchair. So if they do impeach him, and if the Senate also follows through and impeaches him, as unlikely as I think that is, we've got accelerationism pure and simple right there. It is clearly the deep state, though, and the intelligence agencies of this country that have become corrupted. They serve something other than the people of the U.S. That's been true for a long, long time. Biden is neck deep in corruption. If we had anything resembling a free and fair press, they would be all over this. Can you imagine if this was Donald Trump's son, Donald Jr., over there in the Ukraine, engaging in corruption in a foreign country? The news media would be running with this on the 24-hour cycle. But we don't have a fair or professional media in this country. We have an arm, the media arm of the Democratic National Committee, which is what our media is. I refer to them all the time by that old German word, Lügenpresse, lying press. That's all they are. That's all they do. So where will we go with this? Well, frankly, I don't see how Biden survives this in the election cycle. I can't imagine. I think they'll throw him to the wolves. The Democrats will. Who will be their standard bearer in 2020? I mean, is it going to be Bernie Sanders, who just had a heart attack? Is it going to be Kamala Harris, who says she'll confiscate semi-automatic weapons? I don't know. I can't even tell you who the front runners are. We all know about Elizabeth Warren with 1/1000th native Indian DNA, right? Miss High Cheekbones. You know, who will it be? Well, that's hard to say. I did go out and vote for Donald Trump in 2016. I really believed a lot of the things that he said. I feel like I was sold a bill of goods at this point. I don't believe anything he says anymore. Will I go out to try to prevent a Democrat from getting into office? You know what, Eddie? I can't say that I will, and I can't say that I won't. Democrats will actively come after us. Donald Trump just does nothing to help us, and he allows the apparatchiks of his government to prosecute us. So where will the impeachment go? Frankly, here's what I'm hoping for. We all know the frog in the pot parable. The heat gets turned up a little notch at a time, a little notch at a time, and the frog doesn't notice how hot the water's getting. All of a sudden, the frog's being boiled, and he can't get out of the pot. Well, that's our culture and our society. That's what we've allowed to happen. So if something reaches over and grabs that stove knob and turns it up 8 or 10 notches all at once and starts getting the water hot, maybe folks will come to realize what's going on before we get boiled to death. That would be something, as an accelerationist, something that I would hope for, frankly. I mean, do you see what I mean with that analogy, though?
I certainly do. I followed you all the way, and it makes total sense, you know, and you were right. It was Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden has been over there in Ukraine in every kind of corruption you could possibly imagine. I was reading or listening to where the Ukrainians have been stealing Russian oil out of their pipeline and selling it. Hunter Biden has been drawing up to $160,000 a month. And the reason, here's the thing, Donald Trump, and I agree with you on everything you said about Donald Trump, But for the one that what we see here in the United States is when a person goes after the government, when the, mm-hmm. when the government has been busted red-handed in corruption, be it this Jeremy Epstein thing, be it mm-hmm. drug running under Pappy Bush, when Pappy Bush was with Zapata Oil bringing drugs into L.A., and he's the one that created the Bloods and the Crips, that's documented. Whenever anyone, be it a little guy like me or you, Ike, or Lee, or if you're the president, when you go after the corruption, they come after you. They don't come after the, they're not going after Hunter Biden for his corruption. They're going after Trump because he was trying to bring the corruption to the light. That's the way I look at it.
You're completely right. And you know, I look at this system as unredeemable, unreformable. I know not everybody shares that opinion with me. There are folks who actually still believe that we can vote our way out of this, that there's a political solution to this. Why don't I wait till after that thought?
I totally agree with you, and we'll be right. People, hang on to your hat. We'll be right back after the break.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. It's a very, very special radio broadcast tonight. In case you're just now tuning in, you're almost too late to get it. But this is Blood River Radio's first anniversary radio show. You're right in if you're listening. This is our first anniversary. We came on the air first. Our first broadcast was October the 6th of 2018. So we missed it by one day. But this is our anniversary. Now, I'm going to go back to Jason right quick. Like, I'm going to get him to tune in to what me and Ike have been. He's been waiting patiently. Jason has been waiting patiently. I tend to agree. In fact, I pretty much agree with Ike. I'm almost positive. I see no way that this government can be rehabilitated. I personally don't want to be too pessimistic. I don't see how we can vote ourselves out of this. I don't know. I'm just, it's in God's hand. I know God can do miracles. So we've been talking about, and as you well know, we've been talking about the impeachment process, what's going on over there in Ukraine right now, Jason. So what's your take on that, Jason? Do you feel the system can be rehabilitated?
Well, that's a hard question. I mean, we no longer live in a Republican form of government in the United States. I think we could all agree to that. And I as far as do I see that we can vote our way out of it? Probably not. But I think our primary duty is continue to press the issues, try and waken our people up. And, you know, we are shepherds. Each of us are shepherds, and we are supposed to try to save our sheep, and our people are the sheep. And that is our first goal is, because we see this white genocide not only here in the United States, but in Europe. And we are to be a witness for God's, you know, holy work. And that's what our first duty needs to be. And so whether or not this government will ever be saved or not, I don't know any of us will be able to say yes or no on that. That's going to be in God's hand. Our ultimate goal is saving our people from being genocide. I think that's our primary duty.
I agree with you, Jason. I'm going to ask you one more question, Jason, then we'll go back to, and we'll get Ike to answer the same question. Jason, you mentioned saving our people, our sheep. Who is our people, Jason? Who are our sheep?
Our people are white people. I personally believe, and others believe, that we are, they're literally descendants of God. We are his people, and we have a duty and obligation to, first off, to preserve our race. And that is what our duty and obligation is. Just because we want to preserve our race does not mean that we hate any other race. Ultimately, we want to love our people. We want to protect and secure a future for our people, and there's nothing wrong or evil about that.
What do you say about that, Ike?
I certainly can't disagree with that at all. We do have to shepherd our people. We've got to prevent our people from the ongoing genocide that we see taking place in South Africa. But now here's how I see the USA. The USA at this point is ruled by a hostile alien element. We know who they are. They and their ideology are the absolute antithesis of every value that our people have ever had historically. They are the antithesis of our way of life. Our values and our beliefs are openly mocked in entertainment throughout this popular culture. Our people are pawns to the oligarchs. We descendants of the founding stock of this country, we now hold third-rate status behind ever-demanding minority groups. The founding documents of this country, the principles they espoused, their lofty aims, those are long forgotten by the sullens who infest Washington, D.C. And why would we want to stay in this critarchy, which has become the USA? We could only do better on our own, and at the very least, we'd govern our own house. The way I look at it is this: we have no control. We have no choice left but to take control of our destiny. We need to institute a new system of government crafted by us for the benefit of us. And by us, I mean white people. We see this eye to eye. I know all three of us do. It has to be a highly militant, exclusionary, technocratic meritocracy built around radical traditionalism and the prime objective being the preservation of our kind and our culture, even to the detriment of all the others. Something more noble than this petty mercantile aspiration of Semites. We see late stage capitalism, what it's doing to our people. I live in Appalachia. So I may feel less inclined to believe that this system can be restored, but I assure you, I place my prime objective, my heart, my soul, and all my energy goes to saving our people. Educating the ones that can be educated, waking the ones that can be awoken, but we are so late in this game. We, as I said earlier in this broadcast, we may just have to dance with who we brung. because there may not be a great deal more people coming to our state of awakeness.
And I would like to add to that, and I definitely agree with Mr. Baker on that. I think I would like to add also, I think that's why you see such a hatred and even this impeachment inquiry regarding President Trump, because we know he's not white nationalist. We all know that. We all can agree to that. But the enemy, they have painted him to be a white nationalist. They have painted him to be a person who's standing for white people and who's trying to protect America and put troops on the border and all that. So they have painted him to be a white person. That's why there's such a hatred. And I believe that that is something that is good for us, because it is bringing the talking points to our people. And I think that that is a benefit. But I definitely agree that whatever country we end up with, it has to be run and ruled by our people. It has to be our interest. Yes. Diversity is never is our strength. And I love to hear that all the time when people say, oh, diversity is our strength. It's never our strength. That's no. Our downfall.
Diversity just means less white people. That's all it ever means.
Exactly.
You know? But where will we go with Trump and the Democrats? They've been trying to delegitimize the 2016 election since almost immediately after it, and I don't think they'll ever give up. And they've got the media, they've got the deep state, so they've got the tools in the toolbox to continue this almost indefinitely. Mr. Robb, let me ask you a question. Do you think impeachment, if the House does pass the resolution of impeachment, what is your opinion that the Senate would do with that, sir?
I don't think it would ever be. I don't think he would be voted out by the Senate. You have to have 2/3 of the Senate vote, and I don't believe there's enough there. And I believe the Democrats know that as well. The only reason they're doing this is trying to paint a negative picture of him, and hoping that people won't vote for him, obviously, in 2020. I would like to add one thing. I was looking, because I know there's a one-year anniversary of Blood River Radio, but there was a Twitter from Donald Trump August of last year, and he had tweeted, quote, "I've asked Secretary of State Pompeo to closely study the South African land and farm seizures and explorations and the large-scale killing of farmers. South African government is now seizing land from white farmers." And that was from President Trump last year. And so he has, just by tweeting that, has helped thousands and millions of people to hopefully realize the atrocity that's happening in South Africa. But I think that's one of those indications why there's such a hatred against Trump, is because a little bit here and there, he'll make statements and say stuff that will help the narrative for our people in talking about this white genocide that's happening on a large scale.
That is helpful when the president of the United States, most powerful man in the free world, we're told, that is helpful when he draws attention to it. Can't hurt.
Yeah.
But
ultimately, I don't think he will be. He may be impeached, but he won't be removed
convicted
from office. I don't think that will happen.
Maybe follow the course that it took with Mr. Clinton back in the 90s. Correct me if I'm wrong, please, but didn't the House of Representatives pass the resolution of impeachment, and then it died in the Senate? Or am I recalling that incorrectly?
No, you're absolutely correct. Yep, that's what happened. Yeah.
So, still to this day, the only president that's been impeached has been Andrew Johnson, then, because that did actually follow the full process, if I'm understanding. But
right.
This also does one thing. This draws a bright line. I think there's a wide spectrum of political beliefs that are generally in support of Mr. Trump. I would have to consider myself one of those, in spite of the fact that his Justice Department puts my brothers in prison. And I also don't recall voting for a slimy little individual named Jared Kushner, and he seems to have a great deal of influence here. But
exactly.
That said, the great likelihood is I'll get in my car and I'll drive to my polling place on election day of 2020, and I'll do it one more time.
Guys, we're just about out of time. I've got to ask both of y'all questions because we're almost out of time. Is Jared Kushner the real power in the White House?
Absolutely.
You, Ike, and Jacob.
Yeah,
how about you, Jason? Is he the real power?
I might disagree with on that. I think he's definitely in control, and the Israel lobby definitely is in control. And so they have a great influence with him.
Well, guys, hear the music. I cannot thank you guys enough for coming on tonight. And it's been a very special broadcast. I hope y'all feel as special about yourself as I do, because y'all will go down in history as being our guests on the first anniversary of Blood River Radio. So thank you guys so much for coming on. I respect and admire you and love y'all so much. People, y'all have heard this broadcast tonight. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as we did, and I hope you realize that we're doing God's work. And if you can, throw us in a few donations so we can remain on the air. Thank you so much, now. Good night. Good night, everybody. Good night, Sam. Good night, Ike. Good night, Jason. Good night, Lee. Good night, everybody.